Anyone who knows me will know that I am not particularly green-fingered. I appreciate nice gardens and nice plants and nice flowers. My husband never gives me any because he says I don't look after them. But I'm not very good at cultivating them and making them flourish and grow in the right way. For example, we found a little plant called a calancho, otherwise known as Flamin' Katie. For those of you who don't know, we have a Katie in our house, and at times she can be described as flaming. And we thought that this would be a great wee plant to have in our house. And what's more, it's meant to be quite easy to keep. Those wee flowers, they only bloom for about 8 weeks of the year. And after that, it's really difficult to get them to flower again. Well, that's my excuse. My mum tells me that she's managed to do it. And after that, all it does for us is it grows like a triffid. Just kind of keeps growing, but there's no flowers. We have really struggled to get it to do what we want it to, a bit like Katie sometimes as well. It grows, but not in the way that we want it to. On the other hand, little green-fingered Rosie, our other daughter, has been faithfully looking after a poinsettia that my mum gave us at Christmas. And here's a picture of it. Look at that. That was taken just yesterday for those of you who enjoy plants. And she faithfully, every Tuesday, will spray it with water. And then later on in the week, she'll water it. But apparently the secret is not to water it in its pot, but take it out of the pot and put it in the sink and let the water drain through it. And that's the key. And this poinsettia is still flourishing and growing as it should. And people who have come to our house have commented on this poinsettia. I'm very proud of it for her. Now, over time, if things are healthy, we know, and they're nurtured properly and grow in the right way, then they will flourish and grow. We know that. And what is true of plants is also true of our walk as Christians. If we want to flourish and grow and be fruitful, we need to nurture and work at our relationship with God and our understanding of who God is and who we are in relation to him. It is possible to be a Christian and not grow, but when that happens, we don't fulfill God's purpose for our lives. We need the work of God's grace in our lives to recognize the importance of growing spiritually. We need the grace to grow. So what does it take to grow? Firstly, it takes growth. Growth is dependent on life. Where there's life, there must be growth. But you must be born before you grow. And this principle is just as true spiritually as it is physically. The Bible tells us that we were all born into this world spiritually dead, and that's why we need to be born again. And only God can give us a new life. Secondly, growth is never an option. It's a necessity. Growth is normal where there is life. Unless a child has a serious health problem, they will grow and not remain a child their entire life. And the same is true for the Christian. They must keep growing in order to maintain steadfastness. God wants Christians to grow in every way like Christ and not remain as children. Thirdly, growth is gradual. It's not instant or automatic. Have you ever seen a baby grow into adulthood in just a matter of days or weeks or a few years? It doesn't happen. You don't bring a baby home from the hospital and expect him to do what a 20-year-old can do. Growth is a process. It takes time to mature and develop. And in contrast to what some people think, that one can become holy instantly through some powerful experience with God, spiritual growth is gradual. It requires cooperation with God and the application of spiritual diligence and discipline. And fourthly, growth is not always easy. It can be difficult and painful. A baby crawls first before they can walk, and once they get the hang of walking, they still fall down a lot and they might hurt themselves. Aurelia was in our house on Friday and she was cruising around and then she kind of fell and rubbed her face on the footstool and it hurt. For a moment, she cried a little bit because it hurt and she got a fright. And in the same way with our spiritual growth. There are a lot of tough lessons that we only learn through trial and error. Sometimes we think we've got it, only to realize later that we haven't really learned the lessons. And so we have to go through it all again. And to help us think more about this in terms of our spiritual lives today, we're going to look at Peter's second letter. As Peter writes his second letter and his final letter, he was concerned about the false teachers that were plaguing the churches and wanted to encourage the believers to persevere. Thus, Peter repeats what he has emphasized throughout his letter on the dangers of being misled by the doctrinal errors of these false teachers and encourage them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this is what he says just in these two verses. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be both glory both now and forever. Amen. This would help them to flourish and be fruitful and be strong, a bit like Aurelia being the golden one, being able to keep shining even through the fires, the difficult times of life, and to stand firm. It's by the grace of God we grow, and by that grace we too grow in grace. So if we're going to experience progress in our personal relationship, transformation in ourselves, success in our outward behavior, and growth in the grace of Jesus Christ, we need to first of all recognize our need for growing in grace. Peter's statement points out that clear enough. There was a man called Bob who had been a Christian for about 6 years and was heading up a major citywide evangelistic campaign, hosting a daily radio program and working with some of the churches in the area. He was beginning to think he was close to reaching that ultimate in Christian maturity until one day he took his wife shopping. It was crowded and parking was at a premium. Seeing two empty spaces right near the entrance, he approached his answer to prayer. But as he did so, a guy driving a new shiny sports car pulled into that spot, straddling the line. I hate that. At first, Bob thought it was an accident. So he rolled down his window and said nicely, "Sir, you probably haven't noticed, but you've taken up two spaces." He gave Bob a quick glance and with a smirk said, "I know." As he got out of the car, Bob got a good look at him. He was middle-aged with flecks of gray in his well-groomed hair. His shirt was open down the front, revealing numerous gold chains dangling over what looked like a chest toupee. Bob felt instant and total dislike for this man. A little more forcefully, Bob responded, "Well, would you please repark it so I can use one of those places?" Holding out his arm to escort a much younger-looking girl, the man replied, "No." At that moment, all the years of being a Christian didn't mean a thing to Bob. His mood was now murderous. "Paul," he said through clenched teeth, "if you don't move that car, I'm going to stuff you in the exhaust and move it for you." Bob started to get out of his car, fully intending to do what he said. However, his wife, Amy, looked at him as if he'd lost his mind and said so. Bob told her that it wasn't his mind he was worried about losing, it was that parking space. Suddenly, Bob stopped. "What are you doing?" he asked himself. "You were perfectly willing to go into full-time ministry, but here you are ready to fight another person rather than give up a parking space." Having finally come to his senses, he spent the next several minutes maneuvering his car through the car park, driving mostly in reverse. His goal was to keep the guy in the sports car from seeing his rear bumper with one of the stickers that says, "Smile, Jesus loves you." Have you ever been there? In spite of a sincere and genuine faith in Jesus Christ, have you ever suddenly found yourself acting in a stupid manner? As if you heard nothing of the gospel, as if it meant nothing to you. If we're totally honest, we all admit to such times probably more than we ought to. We'd like to. We've all been there many times. All of us can forget who we are and what we believe in an unexpected moment in time. We've all heard those voices, either real or imagined, that said, "I thought you were a Christian. How could you do such a thing?" Of course, besides unexpected moments, Christians can choose to live a life in determined and long manner that's contrary to what God's word says as well. We can be gossipy. We can be moody. We can complain. We can be quick to judge. We can fly off the handle. We can look down on people, etc., etc. You put in there for yourself. We all have areas in our lives where we face ongoing struggles with temptation and failure. And we sometimes wonder if we'll ever begin making progress in this Christian life. Growing in grace begins by being honest with ourselves and God. God's grace is God's unmerited favor by which he saves and sustains anyone who places their trust in him. In other words, grace is not merely God's way of drawing us to him in the beginning. It's also the way we grow and remain steadfast in our faith in Christ. To grow in grace means coming to a greater understanding of God's holiness, of justice and sovereignty, which in turn allows us to see, of course, our rebellion, more of our rebellion, our selfishness and pride. But in that, we also see more and more of how great his undeserved favor is and love that drew us to him. To grow in grace means that even though we're given everything we'll need at spiritual birth, we still have a whole lifetime of growing in our understanding of Christ and the riches and power and life that he's already given us. We can only grow in that grace through a personal relationship with the Lord, who personally teaches us truth in his word, which you take out into the rough and tumble of the real life, in the real world, as we use so often in this whole life discipleship, as we go out into our front lines. Growing in grace isn't a matter of you becoming bigger and stronger in and of yourself, but simply getting yourself out of the way and allowing Christ to live in and through and for you. Growing in grace is not learning 10 steps to spirituality or providing a ladder by which you can climb 12 easy steps or spiritual maturity. It's not simply mastering certain principles. Too often we've approached the Christian life as a subject to be learned rather than a life to be lived. You can't grow in grace just in a classroom, through a seminar, or during a quiet time, as good and helpful as those things may be. You can only grow in grace and knowledge through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, allowing him to work in and through you in the day-to-day stuff of life. Whatever the situation in your life may be, that's where you will have opportunities to grow in grace. We also grow in grace in spite of our personal failures and sins by focusing on what God is doing in the midst of what you are doing. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us that we let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. You see, the road, the path, the plan is marked out for us. Christ should be our concentration, our focus. You can be a Christian and never grow up. We said that at the beginning, but Maya Angelou said this great quote that says, "Everyone grows old, but not everyone grows up." This is not only true in the physical sense, but it's also true in the spiritual sense. Growing in grace is not automatic. There's no instant pill you can take today that will make you spiritually mature tomorrow. There's no shortcut to spiritual growth. It takes time, effort, and intentional pursuit. And when you're leaning more and more through God's word and learning more and more through God's word, how he wants you to live, and when the character traits of Christ become more and more evident in your life, that's growing in grace. No matter where each of us are in our spiritual journey, no matter how mature we are in our faith, the world around us will challenge our faith in new ways all the time. And so there's always much room for growth. But every day we need to find some way to draw closer to God, Christ. We will be, and as we do that, we'll be prepared to stand for truth in the circumstances of the life that we face. the evangelist Joni Erickson Tada, who was completely paralyzed in her teenage years when she dived into shallow waters, sings beautiful words that says, "If when I'm put through the fire, I'll come out shining like gold. Dear Lord, please don't ever stop working in me till you see I can be all you want me to be." That's growing in grace, so that we too, like Aurelia, can be the golden ones, come out shining like gold. And as we grow in grace, we remember that our purpose is to bring glory to God and to bring people to God. So what will you do now? Regardless of your status or condition in life, you have been the recipient of God's grace in some of its many forms. All that we have and are is a gift of God's grace, and he wants to give you more so that you can more and more grow in his likeness. Are you humble and teachable enough to accept his instruction and willing to do what he says and grow in grace? Well, as we spend a moment or two reflecting, we're going to use a beautiful song that says, "What grace is mine that he who dwells in endless light called through the night to find my distant soul, and from his scars poured mercy that would plead for me that I might live and in his name be known." And the chorus says, "So I will go wherever he is calling me. I lose my life to find my life in him. I give my all to gain the hope that never dies. I bow my heart, take up my cross and follow him." We sing this to the familiar tune of "London Derriere." Growing in grace. What steps will you take this week to grow in grace? What are those areas where you need God to do his work of grace in your life so there's more of him and less of you? Well, as we sing this song prayerfully, let's pray together that the Lord will show you those areas, show me those areas, and so that this week we can grow more in grace. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Lord, I thank you for your abundant, abounding grace. Thank you that we don't have to earn your grace. It's freely given to us today. Thank you for the unexpected, unmerited favor you've showered on us, on each of our lives. Help us to put ourselves in the path of your love and grace. Guide and nourish us so that we can grow in grace. Help us not to neglect the disciplines we need to meet with you regularly and to drink from the water of life. Thank you for your rich love and grace. Amen. Amen.